Folks, you can support the hardest working sports talk show in South Florida through Cash App or Venmo. Just search Cash Big O Show. Support us through Cash App or Venmo. Cash Big O Show. We thank you for your incredible support. Good morning. Welcome aboard. Time to rock and roll on a Wednesday, on a hump day. And it is August 4th, Wednesday. Hope you all are doing well out there. We start a little earlier on Wednesdays. We start at 9:30. We start to warm up the seat and get it going for a little Inside the Paint with Ira Winderman and Clay Ferraro. And, you know, Heat actually added yesterday Markieff Morris. There's still a little cap space left. Could there be a trade with Tyler Hero, or is he staying? These are things that are still, you know, maybe in the wings waiting. We don't know. I'd like to see personally Tyler get another shot and come back and see if he can kind of redeem himself and kind of prove to us what we saw 2 years ago is what we're going to see more often. It would be cool. But you never know with Riley, and he's gone in a veteran way. So we'll see if that's going to continue. So Ira, I'm sure, will have plenty of information. Clay, obviously, on top of it, also with the Heat. So there's going to be a lot of talk over that next hour between 10 and 11. We had a loaded show for you today. Alan Pupar is going to join us. And Alan Pupar now is part of the family. And so today was supposed to be the debut of Kyle Krabs. But, you know, listen, I've been in this business for 31 years. I've seen a lot of strange things happen behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, in public, whatever. I've been a part of it all. I've experienced it all. Obviously, 31 years, you get to experience every kind of angle in this business. And so Kyle, when we made our agreement, he did not take into account that his company has a national responsibility to another company. So he could not. Now, we're going to have Kyle Krabs on, but we're not going to have him on every week and exclusively and all that kind of stuff. So, unfortunately, we will get Kyle on. I'll try to see if we get Kyle on next week instead. So Alan Pupar will become the Sports Grill Dolphins insider, which is great because Alan is with the team all the time. And so that's the good thing also. We get another guy part of our family that now you'll get Omar Kelly twice a week. You'll get Alan Pupar twice a week. And we're adding more. I probably will have a new announcement tomorrow with somebody else that we're going to add. And so remember, we're doing our Dolphins coverage at Sports Grill in Miami Lakes and in Miami Lakes, Bird Road, location right off of Bird and the Turnpike, and then the Miami Lakes one, which is right off to Palmetto, and 154th. And so we'll be going back and forth there, half a season in one and half a season in the other. We won't be bouncing back every week. We'll do either the first half at Bird and then the second half at Miami Lakes, or maybe the first half of Miami Lakes and the second half at Bird. I'm not sure. Whatever the owner wants to do is what we're going to do. But a lot of these guys will also be participants in our pre- and post-game coverage, too. So we might have Omar chiming in. We might have Alan chiming in and something else that we've got planned. So actually a couple things that we got planned. We just haven't, you know, finished everything out, obviously. So it's nice to have Alan aboard. He will join us twice a week and we'll have a little fun with him. They'll join us throughout the week. And then once the regular season starts, then they'll join us during the week. And then they'll join us also during the game day. So we'll get, you know, reporters that are there at the games giving us any of the stuff that's going on with the team. So that's the good stuff. What we're trying to do is create the ultimate sports talk show in South Florida that's dedicated to the local teams, that has the people that actually cover these teams and have been around and have influence and have some connections and have some insight and all that kind of stuff. And I think that's what we're putting together, and we're doing a pretty good job overall. Remember, we're only in month two of this thing, right? You know, so we won't complete our second month till the 15th. So we got another 11 days to complete 2 months restarting the daily podcast here. So we got a bunch of stuff. We will have Alan Pupar sometime in the 11 o'clock hour. There's not an exact time. I know I put out there 11:30, but he's going to chime in when he's ready to join us. And then we'll have him on and we'll talk some Dolphins and we'll get his thoughts on the first couple of days of practice and with pads too. Well, first day was yesterday. Today will be the second day. So we'll talk to him as he'll be watching practice when he's calling us today in the afternoon. So that, I mean, today in the morning when he calls us. So I'm looking forward to that. And then at 12:30, we'll get our soccer fix as Inter Miami visits Orlando City. After a tie and a win, could they be actually improving? Could they now go get a road win, too, on top of all of that? Which would be pretty amazing, and Orlando's a pretty damn good team. And Miami desperately needs to string together some points. So they've gotten some points in the last two games. They just played on Saturday night. So now they're back on in action tonight, Wednesday, 8 o'clock in Orlando. I'll be recording it. I think I'll probably be able to watch the second half live. I think I'll be home by then. My daughter's having a graduation today, so I'll be at the graduation, and then we'll have a little dinner, and then we can go home, and I'll catch the soccer match at that time. But hopefully, I'll be keeping up with it. You know, I'm the guy that's on my phone. If I'm not looking at my crypto stocks or looking at social media, I'm probably keeping up with one of the sports teams doing something. So I'm the guy that's always on the phone checking something out, which, by the way, nice to see the market is actually making a nice move this morning. It started making a big-time move this morning just about an hour and a half ago. It just started to climb and climb and climb, and it continues to climb right now. In fact, I can give you an update because I have it refreshed here. Bitcoin is climbing back out of 38, and it's at 39.3. So it is headed right now to 40 at this point. We're waiting for that 42 range to be broken. And once that 42, 43 range is broken, then I think we spring to 50 at that point. So it's just a matter of time. And then obviously if you have Ethereum, you're laughing all the way to the bank because it's already at 26.33. And while Bitcoin had a little bit of a setback the last couple of days, Ethereum didn't really drop back that much, actually. So it shows you how Ethereum is already stronger now than Bitcoin. You know, I've been on the Ethereum thing for a while now. A lot of people are talking about how Ethereum is the better investment than Bitcoin. I've been saying that for a long time already, that Ethereum is the better investment than Bitcoin. Bitcoin is the long-term investment, but if you want short-term returns, bigger returns over the next couple of years, you're going to get more from Ethereum than you are from Bitcoin, because it's just the numbers tell you. That's just the way it is. Ethereum has way more room to grow right now, and it's going to explode. The London hard fork gets installed with the EPPI. That's going to shave down the prices of transactions. It's going to burn Ethereum on each transaction. So then it becomes deflationary. And so now all of a sudden, and remember, there's less Ethereum right now in the exchanges. So you're going to burn Ethereum. There's less Ethereum available to buy. Guess what happens? Boom. So that's going to soar. So just a little crypto advice there for those of you that love the crypto market like I do. And it's moving. A lot of things are moving. Uniswap is moving. I like it. I like seeing some of these coins bounce back. A lot of the alternate coins are bouncing back too in a big time way. So got a loaded show. Got Inside the Paint from 10 to 11. We got Alan Pupar in the 11 o'clock hour. We got Franco Panizo at 12:30. So the variety is there. You'll get your football, you'll get your basketball, and you'll get your football fix here on the program. We do it all, okay? It's a beautiful thing. We got the chat board already going. And, of course, Steve Chapman again, number one at 8:53 in there. NorCal is in also. to Extreme, Gus 1388, Omar Lopez, Steven Gonzalez, JG Long, GP Trap, NorCal, Isais, love it. Gus says, Big O, it's great seeing Cam Wolf on NFL covering the Finns on a national side. Yes. Now, he just announced, I knew this already a while ago, that he was going to the NFL Network. And he will be covering the NFL, but also covering the Dolphins, too. So that's cool. So he gets an opportunity to cover the league and then obviously cover what he knows in being around the Miami Dolphins. I don't think it'll be like ESPN does it. I think they'll move him around a little bit. I think he's going to end up traveling, probably, is what it sounds like, because he said that he's going to be covering the NFL too. So if you're going to be covering the NFL, then that means they're going to ship you around depending on the big stories. They right now, these companies they don't have the kind of money anymore to have a reporter in every city like that was the plan and try to get away with that. They can't do that anymore. The budgets aren't there, and obviously this whole COVID thing is just absolutely walloped all of us, right? And one way or another, we've all been affected by COVID one way or another, and our lives, our sports, everything has been affected by all of this. Our personal lives, you name it, man. Hell, personal relationships have gone down because of COVID. Some people didn't realize they didn't want to be around their so-called loved one all the time. And when they were quarantined with them, they kind of decided, like, I don't want to make fun of divorce. I'm just saying that it's the irony behind it. You're married to this person, and then once you're stuck with them every day inside a house and you're with them all the time, you kind of realize, hey, you know, maybe I don't love this person that much anymore, and I got to get the hell out. And that's the sad part. That even destroyed a lot of relationships. This thing's destroyed a lot, so it's tough. Get the damn vaccine is what you need to do. Get the vaccine so we can all get back to normal is what would be really, really nice. But anyway, got a bunch of things to talk about. The pads are on at Dolphins camp. Flores said something interesting. He said that they're making progress with X. And I thought that was interesting in his statement to the media yesterday. And we're going to ask Alan Pupar about that in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll get his thoughts on that. But at least for me, and as you all know, I thought for sure he's gone. Maybe he still is. Maybe he still is gone, and they're just buying time, and they're going to stretch this thing out. Because as I told you, I thought unless the deal is like they knock it out of the park, they're not trading him now. They'll wait till the end of the year. It's an easier cap hit. And maybe they'll still do that. Maybe they'll appease him by giving me a little guarantees here this year and then ship his ass out. Because that way, you know, I was thinking about this. While you risk opening up Pandora's box, if you actually give him some guarantees this year and let him earn a little extra money, and then you keep him happy and he goes back out on the field, has a great year, you kind of dangle that carrot out there, and then if he goes and has a great year and stays healthy, of course, then at the end of the year you trade his ass in the off season, because you go, okay, we're gonna have more problems with this guy down the line, let's move him now because everything is rosy, he got some extra money, he had a great year, the value is skyrocketing right now, let's go get, you know, a few picks and let's move ahead from this. And who knows, again, like I've told you before, the development of Noah is incredibly important in all of this, you know, so that's going to be the key here. If Noah by the end of the year looks really good, then they'll say, okay, yeah, we're in a good spot, let's move him now and let's take advantage. So because you got to play some kind of a psychological game here, you know what I mean? Because I was thinking about this, if you give him some guarantees this year to appease him and shut him up and give him the money, then he goes out and has the year, you get to trade him, you move on, you get your picks, and you're out of it. And in a way, you kind of send a message that, hey, look, man, when we negotiate a deal, we negotiate the deal. If you're going to F with us, we're going to get you the hell out of here. You know, and that's maybe what they could tell the next agent that walks in. Well, you redid X. Yeah, and we traded his ass right after. We're not doing that again. And that's what they could say. So maybe that's the thing there too. Look, it's like I've told you guys over and over again. Are you guaranteed that you're not going to have any more issues with X? Right? You can't say that, right, with any kind of conviction. And so when I heard, we're making some progress, I just wonder what kind of progress is that. And I'm going to be interested to see that if that contract's reworked, is it for the length of the contract that's currently on there, or is it a one-year bump here that they give him some money? And I'm going to be interested to see if that happens. Because if that happens, then I think there's a chance that they're playing the game of, all right, let's give them a little money here. Let's keep them quiet. We're not going to get the value that we really want right now. So let's buy ourselves some time till next offseason, and we'll shut him up with some money, and then we'll move him in the offseason. I'm just thinking that way. I don't know if it's – see, the thing is, is he a long-term player with all the knee surgeries? That's you got to kind of weigh that too. While he's a fantastic player, you have to think that you've had already several scopes. You may have some more down the line. At one point or another, the wheels are going to fall off. You can't keep having scopes and maintain, you know, your health and play at the same level. So that's why, you know, I'm just. And maybe, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I've been at this for a long time. And because I've been at this for a long time, I'm incredibly cynical. I've been lied to so much. I've been deceived. I've been misled. You know, whatever adjectives you want to phrase it, however it's been portrayed one way and done the other, you know what I'm saying? And I've experienced all of that. And so that's why, to me, I always feel like there's chess being played here, not checkers. And any of you that play chess, you know what I'm talking about. If you're playing from move to move, you're never going to be a good chess player. The chess players that are really good are 4 and 5 moves ahead of your ass. Okay, they're thinking, well, if I go here, he's going to go there. And if I go there, he's going to go here. And you're thinking like that. That's what chess players do. And that's kind of what Greer's done since he took over. He's been playing chess. So when I heard that, I'm going to want to run that by, you know, Alan Pupar. Hey, you think that maybe these guys are saying, you know what, we don't really want to rework this deal, but in order for us to get a better deal down the line, maybe we do a little tweak right here and shut him up, give him some money. He goes out there, he balls out for us, get to the playoffs. He has a terrific year, Pro Bowl year. Boom, we ship him off. We find the team. New Orleans wants him badly. Seattle wants him. Arizona wants him. Let them fight amongst them, and let's get the best deal. And now we'll know their draft position. You know, all of those things. It's just, you think about it, you're just at a much better place trying to trade him at the end of the year than you are right now. The only risk you have is, obviously, he has an injury history. And so that's the only thing you risk from now to the end of the year. Okay? Now, there's a lot of you that don't even want to trade him anyway, right? So you don't care. You don't even want to trade him at the end of the year either. You know what I'm saying? To me, I'm open to trading him because I see the baggage. And I don't know if it's going to get worse. And I don't know if he's going to have another domestic issue or he's going to have another knee issue. And to me, either way, you know, the next knee injury may be the one that says it's over and you're not going to get anything for him. And then all of a sudden you were sitting there going, damn, man, we had a window to get out of this deal and move on. You know what I mean? And again, if you didn't listen to my Bernardrick McKinney segment yesterday, I suggest you go listen to it so you can understand, one, the player, two, the personnel decisions, and three, the cap ramifications from all of it. And I think I explained it thoroughly there where, you know, some people have this misconception, oh, they didn't honor the contract and all that kind of stuff. When you're a front office, you have to do what's best for the team, short-term and long-term. And that's what you have to look at the X move. What's best short-term? What's best long-term? And how much am I rolling the dice on either short or long-term? So what direction do I go in? You know? And these are the things that they've got to weigh in when you're looking at this X situation. But I did find it interesting that the coach says, you know, we're working at it, we're headed in the right direction, and, well, I think we're headed in the right direction, I think is how I'm paraphrasing it. And I just found that to be a really interesting comment overall. By the way, Flores says on Jakeem Grant, he says, there's a lot of value having a returner who can flip the field and score. Dolphins, happy to have him. Last year was last year. Every day you have to prove it. Having a guy that can flip the field. What have I been telling you guys the entire time? So it's those kind of guys don't grow on trees. I'm sorry. What else do we have here? Because Flores right now is talking to the media. We're not at the point where we can air it, but eventually we'll get to that point where we're going to air the Flores press conference live, and then I'll do the reactions from it like I've done in the past. Some of you have requested that on the email and on the DMs and stuff like that, that I used to do the breakdowns of the press conferences, and we'll do that. I'll get back to doing that. I got to just set it up here, you know, technically the way we need it in order to get it done. What else do we have here? Let's see. NorCal says, Otto is sold and streamed Big O every day since opening the doors. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. And then Gus says, Big O, it's great seeing Cam Wolf on the NFL Network covering the Finns. Yep. Good dude. What else do we have here? On a beautiful hump day. Francisco says, Greer knows he has to keep X, especially with the secondary getting torched so far. Noah not living up to his draft stock. Francisco, if you are reading into camp 1 week in, no pads, and only 1 day of pads, I can't help you, bro. You know what I mean? Can't help you. So I don't read into camp to that extreme, to be honest with you. I give things a little more time to develop, and then we'll find out who's who and who's where. Mitchell says, sounds like a good, sound, logical plan. If we don't trade him and X has an injury just not to perform, could the Dolphins conceivably bench him and sue him for his bonus back if X doesn't perform? No, you can't do that. Once you give him the bonus, that's it. I think you can do it if he left camp and did not report and did not do his job, then you can go after the bonus, because then he's actually committing a penalty or whatever, or breaking a rule inside the contract. But as long as he's reported, which he reported because he knew he didn't want to deal with the fines, because they can't reverse the fines anymore. They used to be able to reverse the fines. Now they can't reverse the fines anymore. So it's a whole different ballgame now. Good morning, O. 2021 is a tune-up. 2022 is a title. That's exactly it, baby. That's exactly it. Marco Romero says, how's the linebacker depth looking? Marco, we wait till pads are on for a few weeks. We wait till they get to the preseason games and the practices against the Bears and the Falcons. Let's wait till all those things take place. And then we'll get a feel for the linebackers, and we'll get a feel for the D linemen. We'll get a feel for the O linemen. They just put on pads yesterday. That's why I told you guys on Monday when I was at Saturday's practice, that was nothing. That was calisthenics for 2 hours. I can't measure anything in football if you're not hitting. If there are no pads on, I don't count anything that went on Saturday. Yeah, Tua looks nice. He threw a couple of nice passes, but none of it means anything to me until we actually see real pads. So I can't measure linebackers until they're actually hitting. Can't measure linemen until they're actually hitting. I can't even get a feel for the passing game until they're actually hitting and blocking and rushing. That's when you start to get a feel for all of this. That's the problem. Do not overreact. Writers are there now, and they've got to break something down. They've got to tell you what's going on. But what's going on right now in the first week and a half, is not enough substance for you to determine where the Dolphins are at this point in time. All right, Pallet Rock City Inside the Paint Show is coming up. And, of course, Clay Ferraro, Ira Winderman are getting ready. There they are. Boys, how are you doing this morning?
You know what? Still a little bit busy, but I think with so much Omar Yurtseven going on with the Heat right now that I think we'll have time to talk about a few other players also. Look, once you have the Turkish terror, everything else is tertiary. So, as a matter of fact, I'm going to make Clay say that five times fast at the top of the show when we get into our Pallet Rock City Miami Heat show. But you know what, it's sort of everything you expect from the Miami Heat. Pat Riley doesn't stand pat. We can debate and will debate for the next hour about the moves. But this is a team that constantly is in motion. And God bless them. May not be the ultimate contender, but they try. This isn't the Marlins constantly selling their future forward.
All right, so are you sure we're going to see FTX on their jerseys and not Geritol? I'm just wondering. Just saying. I mean, the Lakers on the West Coast should be the Geritol representatives because they're even older. And then the Heat also. I mean, any concerns, gentlemen, that we've got a lot of guys coming to the arena and walkers?
I'll defer to Clay on this so he can talk his way out of it.
No, not at all. Look, I think you can't deny that is the concern with this team, that at some point key players are going to break down. I mean, look, they're older than the Brooklyn Nets certainly are, and key players broke down for them last year in the playoffs. And so, you know, I think there is always that risk. And yet I think what the Heat have done, and I already alluded to this, is they've made themselves a contender, you know, and I think that you need everything to go together and everything to kind of fall in the right way, like it did in 2020, in order to make a real run. But at least you put yourself in that spot again. And they certainly wouldn't have been in that spot had they kept the team. You know what? I forget that. I that's how I felt until we saw the Turkish terror last night. Now I know that everything is tertiary, as Ira said.
Although, gentlemen,
it's funny.
The screwed up part.
You stole my joke.
By the way, the screwed up part about the NBA is old usually wins. I mean, usually veterans are the ones that have success deep into the playoffs. That's the screwed up part. It's you got to get there in one piece. But if you can get there in one piece, usually the guys with experience are the ones that usually win, actually.
You know, that was one of my questions for Ask Ira at SunSentinel.com today, and someone said, are the Heat trying to build the oldest team? And I'm saying, no, they can't catch the Lakers. That ship has sailed, you know. And you know what? And if a team with LeBron James and Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook is willing to play that game, then, guys, I think there is some merit to playing that game also, as long as you have enough depth. So I think as much as we're going to talk about today – on our show about what the Heat have, there has to be more by the signing period on Friday. There is room for more. There is Pat Riley. There is Andy Ellisberg. There is hope. And if not, there's ample Geritol. Although, at this generation, do you even think they know what Geritol is?
No.
Are we doing old man radio here?
Yeah, no, we are doing old man radio because they have no idea the joke in Geritol. You are right. I am kind of dating myself.
All right, so let's put it this way. There should be ample blue pills, and we'll leave it that way instead,
yes,
gentlemen.
Exactly. That's what we'll do. All right, so tell the folks what you got coming up here over the next hour.
Well, we're going to talk a lot about that. And you know, I think what's interesting about this team is two things. Number one, I felt like they went away from their identity a bit last year. And I think it's pretty clear that in this offseason, they have reestablished that identity as the toughest, meanest, nastiest group of guys in the NBA.
It's a great
point.
And
I think that's important. And number two, I think that they clearly surveyed the landscape of the Eastern Conference and they pointed to the top two teams and said, what do we need to do to beat those two teams?
Right.
And so I think, look, you can argue whether or not going all in on a group of older guys was the wise thing to do, especially long term. And yet I think given what's going on around the league, they did the best they could with what was available.
Right. There was no youth movement. There wasn't a young superstar that was ready to come over.
Exactly.
Nor did they have the ammo to acquire a 100%. Young superstar, because it's going to take you five first rounders or whatever. Look at what you had to pay for Drew Holiday.
Exactly.
Miami doesn't have anything like that. So if you're going to pay for something like Drew, or even better than Drew, like Bradley Beal, the offers are going to be way better than Miami could ever offer. So, you know, you hit on it. They really went down the path, the only path they could probably do in order to improve and get back.
That's it.
And get back to their identity, which is a great move. So coming up next hour, it's Inside the Paint. Ira Winderman, Clay Ferraro, next.